And Georgia Paul Radio is back straight from the Rhino Shield studio. I love, love, love our sponsor, Rhino Shield. It's better than paint. Hi, Randy. Anyway, sorry, Sully gave me that one. He was hoping to use it later. Did enjoy talking to Randy on Wednesday, but right now we're going to talk to John Richards and Stefan Turkheimer, and I'm going to throw this out there as kind of probably my last takeaway, and y'all can then bring me back in as you want, but... Governor Rick Perry of Texas has tweeted out, and as I'm searching through my mentions, that the Republican Party right now is committing suicide on national television. I 100% agree with that. That's my pain. I've spent most of my adult life and current events consciousness identifying as a Republican. I believe there are things that the Republican Party stands for, or at least stood for. And I've watched this devolve into a party that we can tell you what we're against, and we can be against people with the best of them. But trying to put coalitions of things we're actually for, we're not good at strategy for that. We're not good at articulating the message anymore. Ronald Reagan has been dead for a long time, and there's been no one to come along to either communicate or rally conservatives behind actually doing things that are genuinely proactive. We really can define ourselves by what we're against. And then along comes Donald Trump, and he harnesses the anger, and people keep telling me that I need to understand the anger. I get it. You're angry. Congratulations. That doesn't accomplish anything other than if you want to tear something down, but if you want to build something up, angry people generally aren't the person to get that task. So Donald Trump has now, again, as we were saying in the last segment, he's okay with Planned Parenthood. He's waffled on everything else. He's not really necessarily the best business success person when you get outside of building buildings and renting things and... you know, whatever. You can argue that. But he's a showman and up to and including, as Rubio says, a con man. I don't believe a thing the man says, and I certainly don't believe he's a conservative or really holds any conservative values dear based on his past history. But he's saying what all the people that are against things want to hear, or at least what roughly 40% of Republicans want to hear. So he's already backed out on CPAC. You know, he's changing his position. Sounds like he's evolving to a general election candidate that doesn't really care about conservatives, but thinks he can take angry people for granted. But 40% is not going to win him election, especially when he's got among the highest Gallup percentages ever recorded by the Gallup organization. And along comes Jim Webb, a Democrat, that tweets out, "I can't vote for Hillary, but I might be able to vote for Donald Trump." I think what we're witnessing is truly a wholesale realignment of the parties and what they stand for into a party, one party that will be what will be called by many as the establishment, but honestly trying to protect the system of governance that America has, at least in some interpretation of it, and it would be the center against the hard left and the hard right. Now, Jim Webb is not the hard left by any stretch, but if all of a sudden you're aligned, realign what both parties running for in the same election cycle, it could be really interesting. And if Jim Webb were to be Donald Trump's running mate, who possibly could bring some Democrats over, and the Democrats have been real gleeful about, they've enjoyed, like, ribbing me about Donald Trump. They've absolutely loved it. But what doesn't ever get covered is that their chosen candidate that's going to win by superdelegates is losing primaries and or tying primaries. And again, with the exception of the South, which is not a Democratic stronghold, not the area that their base is. So that's why I asked Stefan the question earlier in the first segment. If you're having to run in areas and your only strength that's saving your bacon isn't where your base lives, where's your base going to go during a general election? And I've seen some evidence in exit polls that say Bernie Sanders, the second choice of a Bernie Sanders voter, is Donald Trump, not Hillary Clinton. So, Stefan, I'm going to let you start and take that from there, because I'm sensing that the word Republican and the word Democrat aren't going to mean what we think they mean in possibly just a few months. And everything, it is time to question everything. And everyone has assumed there are rules and that we will all follow the rules. And Donald Trump is proving that all the people in my side that have been preaching principle and all these things for years didn't really mean it.
No. And I think those principles in some ways were stand-ins for some people for hate. And I think those people have glommed on to the Republican Party, and they were able to sort of keep them in the loop until Donald Trump forced the split by being full on hate. the interesting commonality that he has with Bernie voters is sometimes if you're just looking at what's being said, a Bernie quote and a Trump quote don't look that different. And the reason why is because they're both very anti-establishment, right? Whatever that means. The Bernie quotes are what Bernie has to say, and the reason people like Bernie is the authenticity that he brings. And that's what people like about Trump, too. When you look at the biggest negatives for Hillary Clinton, they have to do with trustworthiness, right? Which is the opposite side of authenticity. And so the people that are voting for Bernie are really voting for that sort of authentic person that doesn't really care what the special interests want. And I think that's the allure of Trump as well. And if parties become these bastions in people's minds, these bastions of special interests and, I don't know, pragmatism as opposed to what people actually want, they're going to become less and less popular. And primaries are going to get smaller and smaller. And as that happens, you've got fewer and fewer people dictating who the candidates are, and therefore more and more people that are become disaffected with the process and start looking for solutions outside of parties.
John?
Well, I've thought for a while that there is a realignment going on in the parties. And the way I've tried to describe it to folks is you've got one party that believes that there's a fixed economic pie out there, and they sure as heck want to make sure that they get their share of it. They want to maintain their Social Security and Medicare benefits that they paid for, but they sure as heck don't want undeserving folks, including immigrants and folks who haven't been here, to get their benefits. They tend to be, again, more nativist. They want to go back to tariffs and things along that line. You've got another party that is believes that it's time to go ahead and grow the pie, make things bigger, and understand international trade, and tends to be a little bit more liberal. It's been 50 years since the parties realigned. You look at John F. Kennedy, he would be very attractive to many Republicans right now, even though he was a Democrat. And it may take a while for this to go through, but Donald Trump has certainly solidified these folks. And I'll also say, I think there's, you know, you've got three groups of folks who are turned into Trump fans for different reasons. You have angry Republicans mm-hmm. who have been told by talk radio not to blame the Democrats. They've been told to blame the Republican leadership. You have got the folks who are economically disadvantaged, who have not been able to advance because the economy has been growing at 1% a year. And then you, frankly, have the white nationalists of various natures, from Stormfront to people who are just a little worried because a Mexican family or whatever moved into their neighborhood.
And at the end of the day, the problem that I think we've identified through this process is by not identifying what the establishment is, and I've goaded quite a few of my Republican friends that attend meetings and have titles and whatever, and they're just total lack of they're part of the establishment. But when the establishment now means everything. It's the entire system. And so while it started out, and I know what these people have meant, they meant people they can't name and don't know and aren't even sure they really exist, but they believe that there are people in these smoke-filled rooms cutting deals that are against democracy.
But that's what Rush does every day.
I'm aware, and that's what I'm saying. People have created this boogeyman, and they don't understand now that there's a large portion, especially those that are in various forms of media, that don't define it that way. They define everyone that's part of the process.
Right.
So if you actually take the time to learn, it's become anti-intellectualism is one way of saying it.
Yes.
But it's not just the pointy-headed ivory tower people like me as Mr. Think Tank, whatever. But it's if you actually know what's going on, you're now suspect and you're part of the problem. And so we have people that, whether they realize it or not, are actually championing ignorance. Because the only way that you can be pure and against the establishment is to know nothing. And the people that know something must be stopped. And I realize after you've been tricked so many times that it's natural to want to purge everyone from the system. What I can't get to is how do you think that what's naturally going to rise up in its place is going to be better, or that you're not going to have huge economic interruptions in the process of this transition to whatever's next? Because these people are, I mean, Mike Huckabee said yesterday that this is a peaceful overthrow of the government. And there's a certain version of that's what every election is. So some of that rhetoric isn't exactly new, and yet I see a certain edge on it, especially in the reaction to that from some people, that they really are ready to burn. The phrase I keep hearing from even relatively level-headed friends of mine, we're going to burn this whole thing down. That's the only way to build it back.
Yeah, that's what they believe.
They don't quite have the blueprint to see what it's going to look like. And so that's where I'm optimistic we will do the right thing, but people are going to have to get a grip on what it is to constantly tear down every institution that is the basis of self-governance, representative democracy in this country. And I'm very concerned about what the rhetoric we've done. And again, I admit blogs have been part of it. And the blog that we used to be part of in our early days, we were a lot of that. We've got to show some responsibility, because self-governance means learning stuff and understanding what people that disagree with us are up to, not just assuming they're all crooks and trying to steal from us. Some of them are, but if you can't figure out how to separate them, this doesn't work.
Well, if we can't beat Trump by making an argument based on policy or pragmatism, is it okay to beat him by making fun of his skin color?
Well,
that seriously. Like, for instance, at what point do we get to use his tricks against him and be
so
like,
you're
be
saying
okay?
The white nationalists aren't really racist because they're supporting a man that's orange, so it's not about skin color.
Look at the popularity of the Never Trump hashtag on Twitter. Last weekend, I tweeted about 10 different Never Trump things, and I got more impressions I think I ever got, like 22,000. I mean, it was just amazing how all of this spreads. There is a lot of animosity towards Trump, especially among millennials.
Well, I have a feeling next week we can dive further into that, because this isn't something that's going to go away in the next 2 weeks of the Never Trump. But the folks that are using this as an opportunity to set up a parallel uber conservative party and think that after sowing the seeds of Donald Trump, they're going to just replicate it and create something and run a Rick Perry or someone. You've got to start looking at the center and where the votes are if this is going to work. And the Never Trump people, I do not want to support Donald Trump ever, but I don't want to follow the same people that gave us this and allow them to try to recreate it as if they didn't do it. That is all we have for Georgia Paul Radio.